On this third episode of the Deep State series, we'll cover the bloodlines of the Deep State and how to understand the way they work. Here's part three of the Deep State on the Edge of Wonder. Wonder, wonder, wonder.
Welcome everyone to Edge of Wonder. I'm Rob.
And I'm Ben.
Have you ever been curious about that shadowy organization many people refer to as the Illuminati or the Deep State?
You've probably heard that this organization is a group of secret societies. Some have heard it's specific corporations, some have heard that it's something called a Committee of 300, and some have heard that this organization at the highest level is really a sophisticated group of families.
Well, you're all right. In today's episode, we're going to introduce you to how all of this works, how it's generally organized, and what weird stuff has been going on behind closed doors in a neighborhood near you.
Now, to talk about this, there's a few things you're going to need to accept if you already don't. This is the place where politics, finance, and the occult all intersect.
Yes, we said the occult. It's literally the things we've all been taught to deny and call superstitious and ridiculous, when in reality, it's all actually real. Numbers, symbology, rituals, etc.
This here is the head of the tentacles that is centrally connected to almost every other conspiracy. Also, QAnon makes a lot of references to this.
From what we've read, many people have lost their lives getting this information out.
The book we're pulling most of this information from is called Bloodlines of the Illuminati by Fritz Springmeier, which we ended up finding on the CIA website.
We will be focusing on Fritz Springmeier's research, and for good reason.
From this episode, you will find in our subsequent videos a wealth of new information you definitely never considered, all leading up to Halloween. So sit back and have a refresher on this info.
In some previous episodes, we talked about the Committee of 300 and the drug epidemic. If you haven't watched those videos, we definitely encourage you to do that.
So who directs the Committee of 300? It's something called the Council of 13, the 13 bloodlines of the Deep State.
Why are they called bloodlines? It's because this is exactly what's important to them.
Everything revolving around these 13 families have been shrouded in mystery, which has made it extremely difficult for this information to come out. But through the research and many sleepless nights of a lot of people, you can find it if you dig.
To understand the 13 families, you have to understand history, particularly the history as portrayed through the Old Testament and the New Testament, from which the 12 tribes of God were documented.
Bear with us here while we establish the scene for you. The 12 tribes of God's Israel, according to the Bible, are
Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Zebulun, Issachar, Dan, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Joseph, and Benjamin. Not this Benjamin, Benjamin. So think for a moment, if you will, how many apostles Jesus had. He had 12. Not to say that these are from the bloodlines, the point is to show that the number 12 seems to have some weight. This gets important as we move forward.
So actually, that's where my name came from. My dad named me after. So there you go. But let's pretend for a moment that, I mean, if you don't believe any of this, but let's just pretend that Satan is real. When Lucifer was cast out of heaven, he was not mildly upset. He was royally pissed off. And to satiate his anger, he looked to God's chosen bloodlines. Everything he did became an exercise of spitefulness towards God. To quote Fritz Springmeier,
in mockery and imitation of God's 12 tribes, Satan blessed 12 bloodlines. One of these bloodlines was the Ishmaeli bloodline, from which a special elite line developed alchemy, assassination techniques, and other occult practices. One bloodline was from Egyptian Celtic Druidic, from which Druidism was developed. One bloodline was in the Orient and developed Oriental magic. One lineage was from Canaan and the Canaanites. It had the name Astarte, then Astorga, then Ashtor, then Aster. The tribe of Dan was used as a Judas Iscariot type seed. The royalty of the tribe of Dan have descended down through history as a powerful satanic bloodline. What? Okay, so this just got crazy. Magic, alchemy, occult practices, like for real? If you want to understand how this plays into everything, you need to keep watching.
One of the bloodlines apparently comes directly from the line of Nimrod of ancient Babylon, Anunnaki?
So you might be wondering, well, where's the 13th bloodline? Now, understand that we're just telling you what they believe here, and we'll quote Fritz again.
13th or final bloodline was copied after God's royal lineage of Jesus. This was the satanic house of David, with their blood, which they believe is not only from the house of David, but also from the lineage of Jesus, who they claim had a wife and children. The 13th satanic bloodline was instilled with the direct seed of Satan so that they would not only carry Christ's blood, but also the blood of his brother, Lucifer.
Now, whether you believe this or not, that Jesus had a family is totally beside the point.
And we're not claiming he did by all means. This is just what the deep state occultists believe in actuality, or perhaps even figuratively, as a mockery to Jesus. They've included this 13th bloodline to represent that.
So now you're asking, what are all these 13 families? Some of them you may know, and some of them you may not have heard of.
The families have been covering up their relationship to history throughout and have performed many tasks through organizations or proxies. Some have even changed their name.
Now, don't shoot the messengers here. We're just telling you what we found. The 13 bloodlines, according to countless sources, of which Fritz is one, are Astor, Bundy, Collins, DuPont, Freeman, Kennedy, Lee, Onassis, Rockefeller, Rothschild, Russell, Van Dunn, and finally, number 13 is Merovingian. Did I say that right?
All right, so you guys probably heard this term in The Matrix. I mean, he's that one bad guy in The Matrix movie.
Oh, that like British dude or whatever?
No, the French guy, man.
The French guy, he's French, right?
Yeah. That's like who they went to go see, right?
That's right.
So, coincidence? I mean, really though, how much do the directors actually know? That's a different episode entirely, so we digress.
Now, for the record, you guys heard Collins in that group of names. I grew up next to a Collins family, and I can tell you for a fact that the Collins family I grew up next to is not the Illuminati. This is not everyone who has these last names. However, when you dig, you find these last names behind many curious events in history. But let's help everyone understand their goals and purposes and the means by which they operate. We mentioned two words of significance here, bloodlines and the occult.
The Illuminati are consistently described across different sources as Satanists, Luciferians, and Gnostics.
One of the significant traits of these families are their involvement with each other. When you look at who they marry and who they breed with, they keep things very, very close.
Too close, but we'll see if we can get into that more later. Suffice it to say that their bloodline objectives are to capture the occult power and powerful occult bloodlines around the world.
As an example, the story goes that they had relations and even intermarried with American Indian chieftain bloodlines to capture the occult spiritual power of those people and absorbed as much of their culture pertaining to magic and rituals that they could.
If you consider that their families have been doing this for over thousands of years, it just seems, well, I mean, really rather weird. Another example of their efforts to capture royal bloodlines into their webs are the Romanovs in Russia.
It is said that instead of killing all of the children of the imperial family, which is what the story Anastasia tells us, they actually took two of the children to, quote, serve as breeders for the Illuminati.
Now, to understand this better, we want to share another quote from Fritz's book that was provided to better understand their thinking around bloodlines and the occult.
Quote, "Remember that the leading Satanists feel they have special blood. The top ones feel they are gods. Even grandmasters may teach their selected children they are the god which created the children. This last statement makes more sense when one learns the methods, state of mind, and belief of the satanic hierarchy. Yvonne Collins, grandmother as they called her, would reject the idea that just anyone can become a witch of any significance by training and practice. The occult demonic power would not be strong enough for a convert to witchcraft. Yvonne's occult name is Legenna, which means Lucifer's bride." Now hang on a minute. This is some Harry Potter junks if I've ever heard it.
Hagrid, they're not allowed to do magic away from Hogwarts.
So Fritz explained that the accounts he used are combining his own research with ex-insiders who managed to get out. Of course, throughout his book, he didn't give their names unless it was important to do so. This was really to protect them.
So this leads us to our next area of curiosity. If they're actually practicing Satanism, magic, or witchcraft, if they're performing these rituals, how come we never see or hear it?
Next, we'll get into how they control things and what their ultimate goals are.
The Edge of Wonder.
Has everyone heard of the Freemasons? How about the Skull and Bones? Ancient Order of the Druids, the Rosicrucians, Bohemian Grove, Watchtower Society, etc., etc. We'll use the example of Freemasonry here in our examples because it is the most known and it has the most examples of evidence out there if you research these things.
Okay, now, it's been long known that these secret societies have mostly all been either created for the deep state or have long been since infiltrated by the deep state.
Have you stopped to think about the significance of a secret society? Why have secret societies? Why not have everything out in the open? What exactly are you doing behind closed doors? Playing chess? Seriously.
Yeah, really. Unless you're doing shady things and don't want people to know. Furthermore, why would telling the secrets of these societies result in pain of death, as many of the oaths of these secret societies we've come across do? I mean, that's just...
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
We're of course not condemning every secret society because honestly, we don't know. They're secret. However, we are trying to get you to think.
These secret societies are closed to the public and similar to classified operations in the CIA or like organization. Information is kept from different ranking Masons depending on their rank.
The highest degree of a Mason is 33 degree. And apparently, the difference between a 32nd degree Mason and a 33rd degree Mason is huge.
Many of these secret societies hail from ancient roots tied to ancient occult practices that involve witchcraft. Why do the Masons have so many roots in Scotland?
Britain, and particularly Scotland and Ireland, is where many orders and covens were for many hundreds of years. This is one of the reasons that St. Patrick had such a hard time converting folks over to Christianity back in his day.
So, if they have these secret societies and they do perform these rituals, what do they do? I mean, what is witchcraft real even?
So, Cotton Mather's author of The Wonders of the Invisible World, minister and author during the Salem witch trials had this to say, quote, "Witchcraft seems to be the skill of applying the plastic spirit of the world onto some unlawful purposes by means of a confederacy with evil spirits."
Has everyone heard of SRA and MPD? SRA stands for Satanic Ritual Abuse. Yes, it's a thing, and many people have started to finally come out about this and talk about their experiences of satanic ritual abuse recently.
First of all, as soon as SRA gets brought up, and especially if you do a search for SRA, aside from the crappy entries you'll see on Wikipedia, you'll notice many headlines or articles criticizing this as if it's ridiculous.
If your BS meter doesn't go crazy when you see this, we're gonna tell you why it should. Normal, rational human beings should take claims from people of this nature with the highest concern.
Now, as an example, if an order that's similar to the KKK stormed into someone's home, or worse yet, stole children or trafficked children for purposes of something as deviated as sacrifice, who wouldn't get beyond wrathful about that?
Yeah. Now, this isn't to say that any claim of SRA is real, but it should be taken extremely seriously. Why do we even need to say that?
Us. All of us have been trained to completely laugh, ignore, or make fun of things regarding the occult in real life. Why? The word superstitious is even used as a stick to beat people.
We'd like to read a quote from Bloodlines that was given to Fritz from an ex-insider of the deep state. We've taken out the name of the family in an attempt not to raise any more eyebrows than we need on YouTube's algorithms.
Seven children in white were brought in from generational satanic families and presented before Grandmother X. They laid prostrate in worship of her. She would move her scepter up with a snake up and down, striking the floor to show approval of a child candidate. Then seven other children were sacrificed for the seven approved children, one for each child, whose name would be then written with a quill using the sacrificed child's blood. The children were given oaths. The grandmother rotated her throne and faced the Council of 13 and declared, speaking in English, "This is tomorrow's generation, a chosen few." Ugh.
The highest level Satanists have to balance their good deeds with their bad deeds. This actually adds up if you understand the laws of karmic retribution, but their understanding of this is super skewed.
If all of you want more information on rituals and witchcraft, comment below and we'll provide some insane videos on the history and legitimacy. Bear with us now as we try to wrap this up and explain the deep state's ultimate goals.
So far we've touched on a tip of the iceberg, but if you're probably still wondering, well, how do they do it all? How is this all possible to control everything?
Well, different families as a part of the deep state have different roles. But one thing you'll find is that these families own an incredible amount of the world's wealth.
Take the Rothschilds, for instance. All of the families of the deep state, the Rothschilds, seem to be the wealthiest. Add on the Rockefellers and the Vanderbilts and the Astors, Think about how much money all these families have.
Not only have they been successful at building their fortunes, but also keeping the money circulating among themselves.
Fritz explains in the book that their strategies have been largely around making sure the 12 families are in charge of major money-making ventures. And we explain a lot of this in our whole drug video that we just made previously to this one.
So the Rothschilds are reported to own 167 of the most major banks around the world, which we ended up saying in the 300. Mm-hmm. Okay, the poet Heinrich Heine said, quote, "Money is the god of our time, and Rothschild is his prophet," unquote.
This may seem kind of funny, but Fritz alludes to that the Rothschilds really do believe that money is God, and with it, anything can be done.
When you own all of the wealth, you have family in all of these positions through interfamily breeding, combined with as much spreading of your bloodline as you can manage, and you're able to pay off as many people as they can, it becomes easier and easier to control things, would it not?
This wealth, this power, gave rise to the Committee of 300, who, as we've shown, intends to control the world, lessen its population through drugs and other methods, and make the New World Order, or this one world government, a reality.
Which brings us to finally, what is the goal of this strange occultic secret entity everyone calls the Illuminati with their weird rituals and strange practices?
Their ultimate goal is to combine their satanic bloodlines, occult powers, and their financial dominance to herald in a one new world government and the Antichrist to create hell on earth in spite of the divine. This is what these people think and what they want.
Many people think that in the final days, this would be something that would just happen, as in a story that a figure like Hitler would appear and bring the world to its knees.
The deep state has been working for 100 years to manufacture this situation. And when you look at their controls over the world's corporations, research institutes, finances, government organizations, intelligence agencies, etc., etc., it no longer remains a laughing matter.
For years, it has been this group behind every side of an argument, profiting and controlling, manipulating and literally creating the history we've all been a part of.
But for all of their planning, their financial prowess, and their misuse of occultic power, never could they have expected to be in a position like they are today, quaking in disbelief as the divine and the good people are making moves against them.
Okay, so reports have said that these families are now very weak. And for the rest of it, we're gonna have to watch and wait and see what happens. But for part two of this episode, we will dive into a lesser known bloodline and share a little with you about the author here and what seems to have happened to him since he released this information. And that about wraps up our episode on the Illuminati, your introduction to the bloodlines. What did y'all think? Please leave a comment and let us know below.
Yeah, and also, I mean, a lot of this QAnon has been talking a lot about this, and it really seems to be playing out. And that's why also we wanted to do these episodes for you guys. You know, there's so much going on. Q's been posting so much. We just wanted to be able to be like, okay, here's kind of the background of really what has been going on.
All we can say, guys, is what humans don't believe is all about to come to light.
That's true. And everyone will be seeing it for themselves.
In the next video on Bloodlines, we're going to talk to you more about where we found this book, who the author is, and what we found out, which should put minds at ease about the legitimacy of the information.
So guys, what'd you think of this episode? I hope you liked it. Please comment below, and also don't forget to hit like and subscribe and hit that notification bell. And until next time, we'll see you guys out
on the edge of the Illumidonkey.
Hey everyone, have you been enjoying Edge of Wonder? Do you want to help us keep creating new and exciting content every week? Now's your chance. Go to
edgeofwonder.nyc.
So guys, we just launched our own version of Patreon, our exclusive donation page where you can pledge monthly at a minimum of $1.50 a month.
But we'll have different tiers of subscription, which will have different offerings depending on how much you pledge. And we want to keep focusing on making great content for you guys and grow it into something you guys will love. So where is it?
Edgeofwonder.nyc.
Anyway, we love you guys, and we'll see you out
on the edge.